Welcome back, Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We got co-host Bryant Falconer in the house. How you doing, Bryant?
Man, I'm doing good. Doing good, bro.
Awesome, man. So we're just coming off of episode 100.
Yes.
You know, it almost feels more, I mean, I guess because we recorded a week early, It just released today.
Yeah.
But so I'm just really now like understanding that we did 100 episodes. 100, you know what I mean?
Episodes, man.
And so thank you to everyone who supported the show. Thank you to all of you guys who listen every week. It's much appreciated. And so before we jump into the show, let's go ahead and say thank you to our Patreon
100%,
members.
100%, man.
You guys help us keep going every week.
It's the reason we made it to 100.
Yeah. Man. I mean, really, without you guys, we wouldn't have made it.
Wouldn't have made it.
And so we want to say thank you to you guys. All the improvements that we continue to make is a direct link with those guys.
Yes, sir.
And then we also want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Mm. We have three amazing sponsors. We have McAuliffe Cigars.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because we have a guest in the studio while we're doing the show tonight. You guys know Big Larry. And I look over, and you know what Big Larry's smoking? A McAuliffe A.
Hey, yeah, it was gleaming at us.
I was at the shop earlier today, and you know what he was smoking there? A McAuliffe A. He was like, dude, have you had one of these? And I was like, yeah, you know I have. So anyway, we can't say enough about McAuliffe. If you haven't tried their cigars, you are missing out. And if you haven't become an ambassador, all you got to do is go by our website, click on the link down in the show notes. If you're on Apple, you can click on the show notes and go to Ambassador for McAuliffe, and it'll take you straight to their site. You register, they'll send you your own coin with your own number, and then you'll be an ambassador.
From then on.
Yeah, and so, I mean, and their ambassadors, wow, what a community.
They made it for us.
You know,
the community is blessed because McAuliffe looked into it, and they made sure that the ambassadors were everything about it. Everything.
And the brick and mortars.
The brick and mortars, you know, it's the website, the Facebook. It's like, it's us.
Right.
It's us.
And then we want to talk about Viva La Vida.
Man, I love
saying dude,
that.
Dude, we have been with Viva La Vida since day one of the pre-made cigars. Mm-hmm. And to know those guys and to know how honorable they are. Talk about honorable men who came to America and are pursuing the American dream.
Their dream, too.
With their dream and their commitment to doing things the right way. Uh-huh. They only do brick and mortar, just like McAuliffe.
Yep.
And the level of care that they give to their product is as high as I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
And so you guys help us out. When you go to your brick and mortar, ask for them if they don't carry them. And if they don't carry them, ask for them and say, hey, man, bring these sticks
in,
and they will be a hit.
Or they will.
You're going to be doing your brick and mortar a favor. Mm-hmm.
And yourself.
Right. So we want to give hats off to Viva La Vida and McAuliffe, and then let's tie it all together
with the greatest brick and mortar there is.
The
man.
Leaf.
Yes, sir.
With Jay and Corey, we have the best shop here locally.
Yes.
They just moved into a new location. If you haven't been by there, you definitely got to go by there and hang out. They have a humidor that I want to say is like 13 or 14 feet by 30 feet. I don't know how big it is. I just know it's
a corridor.
When you're standing at one end,
you look down the hallway.
You're just like, wow.
Does it end?
It just goes and goes. And the funny thing is, I'm finding cigars in there that I didn't know we carried because they used to be just crammed everywhere. Now,
spacious.
Yes. And it's a beautiful cedar lined humidor that smells like heaven. Mm. So if you guys want to smoke some McAuliffe or Viva La Vida, Jay carries those. And so you can call him up, and we'll have a link on our website and in the show notes that you can click and get the phone number, call him up. He'll set you up. And if you are order number 6 this week, we are going to throw in an extra Viva La Vida torpedo and a Medallia 6x46.
So you know who's presenting those.
You know that Medallia. Hey, that's right. If you're order number 6 this week, Jay or Scott will tell you, and then they will throw those sticks in for you, and I'll go down there and pay for those from Cigar Talk. Gotcha. We want to give you a gift that you're going to enjoy, sit back, and just like, wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, we want to say thank you to all of our sponsors and our Patreons. You guys help keep the show going week after week.
We made 100 because of you all.
So we were talking earlier about where we see the show at episode 200.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the visions that I have before we hit 200 is to make a trip down to the Dominican Republic or Nicaragua or Honduras, one of those places to go through a factory so that we have the experience and understanding. I mean, I've seen the videos. I've heard testimony from different friends that have been, and that's something I want to do.
Got you.
And then also next year, right now they move TPE to, I believe, May. So we got to go to that.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to TPE next year, as long as it's not some crazy Easter weekend or something like that. My wife says no, but straight up, we plan on going to that. We want to hang out with our good buddies over at the Cigar Pulpit. We want to hang out with Al, the Good Cigar, and Mark, and Mark and who? Aaron.
Aaron, yeah.
Well, I was thinking Viking. So Aaron and Mark, or the Viking, we want to go hang out with those dudes in Vegas and have a great time. Yeah. I hope you guys will come too. It'll be a blast. And, you know, I love playing some Texas Hold'em.
Here we go.
Dude, did you know I played Texas Hold'em up at the Leaf?
Yeah, I heard.
Did you? What'd you hear?
That you all were back there playing Texas Hold'em.
That's all you heard?
And then I knew who one of the players were. Because they said Texas Hold'em, so it was you.
Oh.
It was you.
Well, there was,
I was like, I know Rob was here. Was, and it's like, yeah.
There was five players.
Who were the other
four? We played a tournament. We had the owner, or well, one of the owners of the Six Brothers Brewing.
Okay.
Two of the guys were doctors. I don't remember what they are. And then one of them was the owner of the Hallows Coffee.
Okay.
You know, right there by the Leaf old location. And so anyway, there was five of us playing.
Okay. How was it?
It was great.
Great atmosphere, great place in the back in the lounge.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Well, it was also great for another reason.
Oh, Lord, you won?
All of it. Not part of it.
He said all
of it.
He took those gentlemen's money.
All of it.
All professionals at that, CEOs and doctors.
You know what? It was,
and he walked out and got into his Dodge Caravan.
Hey, you know what? It was fun, though, because first of all, I don't really care for playing tournament style versus just heads up or live poker. Sorry. Tournament style is different in the rules.
See, that's why I can't get it.
And so, well, just straight up, no limit hold'em is what I like. But we were playing tournament style, and I mean, it wasn't my game, so whatever they wanted to play was fine.
And then you won all their money. I don't even want to play, but thank you all for this.
Here's what I said. Y'all ever need a player, I'm available.
I'm available. Pockets are empty, but they'll be full.
It was funny because one of the players, on one hand, I went all in. And he goes, I think I know what you have. And I said, well, tell us.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I'll wait till the hand's over. And I was like, no, no, just go ahead and tell us. I don't care. And he was like, you're on a flush draw. And I was like, interesting call. And then the guy calls. And then I beat him on my flush draw because I caught it.
Because you did.
And I was like, nice perception.
Nice. Way to pay attention to the cards.
Yeah. Yeah, I was impressed. And so anyway, he was already out.
Yeah.
But he was like, are you a card shark? And I was like, no.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm not.
Dude, I'm not saying you're a professional card shark. I'm not saying that, you know, you sit back and you line up. You know,
I play maybe four times a year.
Yeah, but you're one of those guys that when it comes to Texas Hold'em, it's like a third appendage with you. It's natural. So you may not term yourself as a shark, but I wouldn't sit down and play with you.
Let me tell you my specialty.
What's that?
When I sit down at a table, within 20 minutes, I know that I'm going to take all of your money. or I know that I need to leave. That's my specialty.
Okay.
Because I've sat down with guys where I didn't get up and leave, mm-hmm. and they clean my clock. And there's a big difference of what skill set people are and being able to identify what skill set people are. Yeah. So when I sit down, I evaluate very quickly, and within 20 minutes at a whole table, I know which guys I'm willing to go to battle with, and I know which guys I need to steer clear of. And those guys...
And that's smart card playing. That's smart card playing. Because you got to be an observer.
I sat down at a table one night, and the guy came over and sat down, bought in, and within 5 minutes, I leaned to the person next to me that was a local, and I was like, who's that guy? And she was like, oh, he usually plays at the 10-20 no limit. And I was like, yeah, he's too good to be sitting at this table.
I'm done.
I was like,
I'm done.
I like to know when I sit down, I'm in like the top tier. But when I know other people like way above me, I'm like, I don't want to play with them.
No, I'm not there yet.
I'm not looking to get better.
Yeah.
I'm looking to pocket some cash.
I want to take your money.
Right. And if he's taking my money, that means I'm not taking anyone else's money, because he is just
fun.
banging on the table. So anyway, Bryant's written out some show notes tonight.
Here we go. You're trying to put me on Front Street again. But anyway.
So what's your first topic for tonight?
We got to start off with our top three.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, because he's not ready and he's known about the top three for the last 2 hours, Luke. When did we give him the preview? Anyway, so my number three this week was Camacho Criolla, the Yellow Band.
Oh, nice. Yes. I haven't smoked one of those in a long time.
Great morning stick. I had that Saturday morning. My number two was the Don Pepin, whichever way you want to say it, Garcia.
Pepin is what Pepin. I say.
Yeah. I had that after we left the main event in Austin. I came out, I was like, man, I need a stick right now. And I need something that's going to make me feel good because I'm pissed off. I smoked that. I was like, okay, now I can go back to the hotel chilling. And my number one, which everybody saw, and I actually got an award for it this week.
What?
Pick of the day.
Oh, your Baca.
Yeah, that Baca. Nice, man.
So you guys listen up. Bryant was selected from Roma Craft as pick of the day.
Yes.
Now, we were of good fortune and had the opportunity to visit the Roma Craft headquarters.
Yes, we did.
And on one of the walls in the headquarters, they actually have tile squares
with
the photos from the photo of the day.
That's correct.
And I believe they like trade them out every 3 months. Mm-hmm. But your photo is actually on the headquarters wall, which is a cool thing.
It is, man.
And so I believe I've had probably five.
Yeah.
And Jay from the Leaf has actually had probably like seven or eight.
Yep.
Because he dove in with a purpose.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, after five, I was like, yeah, I got this. I'm moving on. But anyway,
Bryant,
and I didn't see the photo.
Yeah.
You got the photo handy?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see what it looks like. I mean, because usually Bryant's photos suck. So if they gave him a photo of the day, I need to verify that he actually took it. You see what I'm saying, right, Larry?
You and Larry both can...
Remember, this is the regular show.
Yeah, the PG rated.
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
You don't have it handy, ready to show me?
I take a lot of photos, as you know.
Golly. Hey, dude, have you seen more selfies than this dude?
You know what? Both of y'all.
I mean.
Both of you.
He competes with the women, Larry.
Both of you. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Both of you.
All right, let me see. That was photo of the day. Yep.
See, now he going to downplay my...
No, I'm just going to say, I didn't know Mike Rosales did LSD, but, well, you know, hey, to each their own, right?
You know what, man? When they say piss on your headstone, I'm going to go drink a keg.
Hey, no, take, you know what? That's a cool photo.
Take three diuretics.
That's a cool photo. Hats off.
I'm a hold it.
Hey, man. See, you're going overboard.
Because I want to write something.
You're taking it too far.
You just did. He looked at it. He's like, I didn't know he was on LSD.
No. You know what?
Yeah, nothing.
Here's the deal.
I ain't free from
it's an interesting. It's an interesting photo.
Anyway. Next.
Okay. Hey, so what's your next topic?
Man, no, you ain't gave your three yet.
Oh.
So busy pissing on mine.
First of all, did you see this, man? So, first of all, I'm going to go with the cigar that was not banded for me last week.
Okay.
Dude, let me tell you what. So, last week on the 100th episode,
yes.
Bryant brought me an unbanded Diaz Gloria from AJ Fernandez. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was about smoking a cigar with no band on it that was a really great cigar, but my appreciation for that cigar went up tenfold by not knowing what it was.
And that it was good.
And it was fantastic.
Because if you could have saw his face, well, some did because it was taped. The way he was looking at that stick and he was like, is it this? Is it this? I'm like, no.
Yeah, because I think it took me about five guesses.
Yeah.
And but it was... It was mind-blowing that because I didn't know what it was, but because it was so good, I didn't take it for granted. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And so I've been over this stick all week.
And see
so
what it
thank
was.
You.
It was a throwback to that turd rocket you gave me. I wanted to show you how you do it the correct way. You blind test somebody with something good.
That was nice.
Not you find off the side of the street.
You know what? I'm going to knock your socks off.
You better.
I'm going to knock your socks off.
Because the last one you gave me.
I'm going to knock your socks off.
I'm not
going to
speak over it anymore.
I'm going to knock your socks off. All right. So my number two this week is the Davidoff.
Davidoff.
Dude, let me tell you what. Sean O'Connor. Give that dude some props because he knocked it out of the park. For our 100th episode, sent us the 53 Davidoff.
Yes, he did.
Very nice. And I, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't smoked a lot of Davidoff because they're not in our region. And so when I do smoke one.
When you get one, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, that was only my second Davidoff.
Okay.
My first one was the Black Label Nicaraguan.
I had that one.
Great smoke.
Yes, it is.
And this one. Was definitely.
I'm still smoking on
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, you're still smoking on yours.
Me and. Oh, Luke's done too. Oh, he still got his too. I was going to say, he's taking out this dad now.
No. He goes pretty slow. But then my number one this week was I went back to the Leyenda number one.
For real?
Yeah. Dude. You know, you mentioned that cigar not long ago.
Yes.
Larry mentioned that cigar not long ago. And I was like, you know what? I haven't smoked in the Leyenda number one lately. So I pulled one out and sat back on the patio.
And took that ride.
Oh, with some Eagle Rare.
How you like the Eagle?
Rare, baby. Rare.
Woo. Yeah, I can see that. So, yeah, that Leyenda number one, that's a bad stick.
Yeah.
You can't play around with that one.
No.
You got to give it your total attention because it's going to take it. If you're trying to smoke this and do something else, you're wasting yourself because that stick is still going to be great.
It's still going to be great, but you're not going to appreciate it the way it should be appreciated unless that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's all you're doing is just enjoying that with a nice little drink.
Because there's some sticks that I'm like, I'm going to go do this. I'll smoke one of these.
Some sticks I can plunge the toilet with.
Oh.
It's like, okay, I waste time with this.
I don't have any of those.
You gave me 80 of them at one time.
Yes, I did. And you probably made it through about 40.
Man, and the rest of them, I just started giving away to people. It's like, oh, you smoke sticks? I was like, yeah, you smoke? Oh, yeah, I dabble here. Try this.
I'm going to take my glasses off. I'm not reading.
Well, it's true.
So, all right, man. So, that's our pick six of the week.
Yes, sir.
Hope you enjoyed the list. If you haven't smoked all those, they're highly recommended.
Yes.
Tell me your three again. You had the Baca.
The Baca. Don Pepin Garcia.
Oh. Blue Label?
Yes.
That's my favorite.
And the Camacho Criollo.
The yellow label.
Yes.
And I don't know that I've either had that or it's been a really long time.
Set the leaf.
I had the Camacho Connecticut yep. a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we both had one almost at the same time.
Good
yeah,
stick. Yes. Good stick.
Yeah. Camacho makes a great stick, man. Some of them are just like, they punch you. You get hit. You're like, whoa, okay.
I mean, and here's the thing. To me, Camacho has some mediocre sticks, but the mediocre sticks they do have
are better than some people.
Are Shut up, quality bro. Tobacco.
Shut up, bro.
You know what I mean? They're still quality tobacco, yeah. But sometimes because I think of how much they're mass produced, the construction is my issue.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with this one.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't had an issue with Camacho in a while. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to construction, if you're not spot on, I will hold a grudge.
For a while.
Look at LFT.
Yeah, for a while.
And, you know.
You held them in disgraceful wood. It was almost a year, wasn't it?
Well, I've still been holding on.
Oh, so it's good.
But here's the thing. I talked to Gary, Ponytail Gary at the Leaf, and, he smokes the Digger.
Yep.
And the Digger is, I want to say it's like a 70 by 7 inch. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a 60. But
no, it's a 70.
Is it?
Yep.
So it's 70 by 7 inches. It's big.
Yes.
And he smokes that for 2 hours.
Yep. Every
day. He was having problems with the Maduros. Mm-hmm. And he said there was nothing wrong with the Naturals. And so I seen him the other day, and I'm pretty sure he was smoking the Maduro. So I think they're back on track with that cigar. If they could get back on track with the Cabinet 5 or Cabinet 6, then I could start cutting on some slack.
But
until they get that stick right, I steer clear.
Gotcha.
Because that was my two go-to sticks.
It was.
I mean, the 6 was the go-to.
You sit there and, I need a stick. You go right to that cabinet. You open it up and grab two of them.
That Cabinet 6 was the bomb.
Yep. You and Paul.
Yeah. And, Paul liked the 5s.
The 5.
That was more his stick. And I would smoke those two if there were no 6s.
Okay.
But, the LFD brand has let me down. And so I like to see that somebody who smokes them regularly says they're on their way back up.
Okay.
So, 6 months from now, who knows? Maybe we'll be talking good.
6 months from now.
Well, when you're talking about an agriculture product, sometimes it takes time. I don't know why you're laughing.
Say that word again.
Agricultural.
You messed it up the first time.
I don't think I did.
Agricultural.
I didn't mess it up. I slurred.
Yeah.
There's a difference, Brian.
Say that Rare was talking. No, what you got that bullet talking about.
Now I'm drinking the bullet.
The bullet, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Tim bought the bullet.
For real?
Yeah, and then we made fun of him.
Beans on the floor.
Hey, because Mark brought the Dickel Bottle and Bond, and after we drank that, bullet was like,
next.
He was like, man, I'm sorry. And I was like, hey, it's a journey. You learn.
Or you don't bring anymore.
Hey,
and drink.
You know what? We had a great time.
That's all that matters, man. All that matters.
Well, let's talk about your next topic.
Cigar photos, do's and don'ts. You are the accomplished photographer.
Well, you know what? I have a style.
Yeah.
I have a photo style for my networking, my social media.
Gotcha.
And I was a photographer for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, if you go back to like a year ago, my photos were spot on.
Yeah.
They were really like what I consider to be like I was trying to make a badass photo.
Yeah. And
now I don't spend a lot of time. I spend a bare minute.
Okay.
And still, they're pretty good.
Okay.
Just because I can't take a shitty photo. And what I mean by that is when I see it, if it looks like crap, I just won't post it.
Yeah.
So even if I'm doing a quick setup, I still take the time. It's like I'm known for diagonals.
Uh-huh.
I like the diagonal flow. I want the top and the bottom of the cigar to be fully in frame.
Uh-huh.
Then I want to have some good color base. I want to have structure. I want to be able to see the leaf and the structure of the leaf.
Man,
and then I want the highlights to be where they should be. I want the black tones to be black. And so once you get those, the photo cropping can be a little off, but those parts of the ingredients have to be spot on.
So that's your foundation.
Yeah, that's the foundation. Mm-hmm. And if I get a little creative, I still use all those foundations and then we'll add to it.
Gotcha.
But the do's and don'ts, I mean, I think that maybe sometimes I overthink my photos for cigars. And, you know, it's one of those ingrained skills that I can't ignore. Gotcha. But I see people post cigars, and I've been doing it more, where it's just a photo of my cigar in my hand in front of the steering wheel.
Why are you talking about me, man?
No,
because that's me. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that is me.
And I noticed that you really swung that way. You have. But I know lots of people that do. Uh-huh. And so I have started doing more of those to emulate the common man.
Damn, he just called me common.
No.
He pissed on my photo that got the award. Now he just called me common. And not the rapper common. Is this Walk on Brian? Episode 101, Walk Over Brian.
That's what we're going to name the show.
Yeah,
Rob Walked Over Bryant.
I can see
the whole show.
The whole show.
No.
I will not drink Bullet anymore.
I'm just saying.
I mean.
But here's the thing. My photos, when you look at them, I would get bored with them because it was too pristine. Yeah. It was too staged. Okay. And I'd be like, you know what? I need to and go natural. And when I see other guys doing, what do? They take pictures in front of their cigars, in front of their steering wheel.
They keep on going.
And it's like, you know what? It ain't about how great of a photo it is that you can take. Yeah. It's about what I'm smoking.
Yeah.
And so I'm joking with you on the common man, but really, I'm shifting gears. I still enjoy doing some setups and making it look, you know, really spot on, like an advertisement.
Gotcha.
But now I'm also like, hey, man, it's just me and a cigar.
Yeah.
And I don't do selfies like you do.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of
selfies.
I used to enjoy watching you and Jay prepare for taking pictures of sticks.
Jay is like a 30-year veteran photographer, and he's only been doing photography for a year and a half.
And the thing is, his eye picks, just like yours do, it picks up things that I would never even think of.
Right.
Like one day he was taking out the trash to the dumpster, and he came back and grabbed the stick, the light, the ring, and he ran outside. I was like, what the heck
is he
doing?
And that was a badass picture.
And it was, man.
Because it had the date welded into the side of
the
dumpster.
And he came back and he said, like, this is what I got. And I was like, what? I said, is that the dumpster?
Yeah, and I think it was like 1992.
And I was like, wow. I was like, I would have never saw that and thought, that would be a bad pick.
You know, one of the photos that RomaCraft chose of mine as photo of the day, I actually laid the cigar in the middle of a metal manhole, like in the street, and it was from the 30s. You know what I mean? But it was all that cool looking metal
and rust
was
and everything,
round with squares going to a point in the middle where the cigar was.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, sometimes I have fun doing that.
So just be natural with it. That's to do. Just be natural.
You know what? I did a picture that I thought was pretty cool, and I laid it on top of a stone, and in the background, out of focus, you could see that it was a Mason Lodge, and the cigar was a Hiram Solomon.
And you saw the compass back there. So,
but it was like a blurry compass. You know what I mean? But it was like,
okay.
So, I mean, just those kind of things. Okay. But then at the same time, you want to create cool looking photos, but you also want to just be part of the community
and
say, hey, this is what I'm smoking.
Gotcha.
I don't think there's so many do's and don'ts. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's you.
Yeah. There's no, I mean, if you want to learn how to take better pictures, and have your own style, then learn how to do photography. There's so many courses on YouTube or whatever that you could learn how to do stuff. But if you're just happy sharing your cigar, don't worry about all that nonsense.
Yeah, that's me. I'm just happy sharing mine. This is why I'm smoking, y'all. Today, at this moment. Okay, the next one will be helping newbies, neophytes, some that are just, you know, couple of years into developing their palate.
I think one of the best ways to do that is encourage them to try cigars that are not in their wheelhouse.
Gotcha.
And what I mean by that is it took me a long time to get out of the Maduro full-bodied, full nicotine punch.
Yeah, that was him. Larry jumping out the chair because he like, what? Because Rob's mentality was, if it don't knock me off my feet, it ain't worth smoking.
Yeah, I thought that was what a real cigar was.
And the first time I saw him with a Connecticut in his hand, I was like, what's up? He's like, leave me alone. That's what you told me. You said, leave me alone. He said, leave me alone. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Okay. I was on that path of smoking dark Maduro bold cigars. Yep. And you think about how many Connecticuts, Habanos, Mexican San Andreas, all these different leaves are out there. Well, they've been around for decades.
Yes.
So there must be value there. Mm-hmm. So I need to try these, because if they were no good, they would be gone.
Yeah.
And so that kind of like swung me around to go, you know what? I need to try a little bit of everything so that I can grow my palate. And along that journey, you do develop a refined palate. And you start finding these flavor profiles that you thought were complete bullshit that you had heard people review. And don't get me wrong. There's reviewers out there that give flavor notes that I've never experienced.
Tell the truth.
And maybe my palate's not as fine as those guys. I don't know. Or maybe they're smoking crack or dropping LSD before they do the review. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's a journey.
We walk out the door, the DEA gonna be. That's all they talking about is LSD and crack.
Well, I only say that because Tim over at Down to the Nub, he's a big fan of LSD, I believe. I don't know that to be fact. I just think I heard that somewhere. So if you guys listen,
put you out too.
If you're a fan of them, put down in their show notes. Ask him what type of LSD he likes. So, anyway, and don't tell him, hey, wait a minute. Seriously, in all seriousness, don't tell him I said that. Just find out for yourself. No. The producer's like, why did you go that way?
My thing is, in developing your palate, it's just like you said, don't get stuck. Don't pigeonhole yourself into it. I just like this.
Well, and I understand that when you find a cigar that knocks it out of the park for you, you do jump on it.
Who was that gentleman when we were like in our 30s and 40th episode that had the notebook?
I think he was from Kansas.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, and he kept a journal
of every stick he smoked.
Everything.
And his thing was, he wanted to be able to go back later and smoke that stick again and see if he got the same exact reaction that he had the first time.
Right.
And see, that's developing a palate, because now I understand that the first time I tried it, like we've done with sticks, the first time we tried it, oh man, that ain't no good.
Right.
And then you come around, oh man, you need to try. And then you try it again, you're like, wait a minute, I didn't get that the first time.
And there's been lots of sticks that I thought was mediocre the first go around. Yeah. And by the third to fifth time around,
give it that change.
I was like, you know what? I was not being fair to this cigar. So don't always count out a cigar your first go around.
Give it two or three more tries, because it'll grow on you. And then you're like, okay.
Well, I mean, if you think about this, and I'm sure you were this way as well. I mean, the first time you ever drank beer, you were like,
yeah, tell the truth.
That was not
like, nah,
good.
I ain't messing with this.
Yeah.
Then I got out of my elementary days and made it to junior high school.
You were like, hey, this ain't so bad.
This old English good.
Right. So, I mean, even on cheap, you developed a palate.
Tell the truth.
So when it comes to cigars, talk about a journey. Ooh. Because you're going from, let's just say, the old English. That was, but now you're in Michelob, a place baby. Where Michelob. You're going from cigar to cigar, and you're talking about a difference between Nicaragua,
Dominican Republic,
Honduras, Andreas,
I mean, you know, Connecticut,
Cameroon.
Ooh, Lord, Cameroon.
So, I mean, you're talking Africa, you're talking
everywhere in the world, not just
all over,
not just stuff. And then those that say, because I was down in Austin this weekend, and one of my son's friends, he was like, "Oh yeah, you smoke cigars?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Well, yeah, you know, they say if you don't have a Cuban, you don't have a good one." I said, "They told you a lie."
He looked at what?
A Cuban, you don't have a good one. I said, "They told you a lie."
Yeah.
He looked, he said, "Huh?" I said, "Bruh, don't fall for that, man."
Hey, what you were thinking was you don't know anything about cigars.
At all.
Yeah.
At all.
You know,
I wish I had one of them 80 that you gave me.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, that's the mindset people have. If you're not a part of the community and you haven't, if you haven't tried other sticks, you can get stuck in that mindset.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, in the last, say, 3 years, mm-hmm. how many Cubans have you smoked?
One.
And how was it?
Terrible.
See, in the last 3 years, I've probably smoked about 10. And out of those 10, I would say one of them was pretty good. The rest of them, I did not enjoy.
And see, I almost had the opportunity to go to Cuba because my daughter was stationed over there for a while.
Yeah.
But when COVID hit, I couldn't go. And I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I didn't want to get caught. Like with a gentleman we know that went over there and brought those dog rockets back that had the Cuban labels on there, and he passed out one to everybody. I was like, what is this?
I'm not smoking that.
It's like,
well, and what people don't understand is even in Cuba, they have
knockoff
cigars.
Knockoffs.
So unless you go to the factory. Mm-hmm. But my thing is,
and then they know you're not from there anyway. You don't know where to go to find the true ones.
Right.
You don't know what is real. And half the time you didn't stop by somebody on the street anyway. You buy
your
sticks.
Well, I would tell you this. Don't buy sticks off the street.
Never. Not even here.
Yeah. Why are they not in a shop?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
True.
That says a lot. You know what? I would consider, like, here's what I'll say is if you go to a cigar shop, you know what you're buying.
True.
If you buy a cigar off the street, you don't know what you're buying, right?
You know, a cool cigarette. Okay.
You know what the street is represented these days? Cigar International.
Yep.
Cigar International is like buying cigars off the street.
You get in and
you don't know what you're going to get. Now, I know they say whatever they send you is what they get, but I'm going to tell you right now, I bought cigars back in the day when I was a young cigar smoker from Cigars International, and I don't know why, but I can tell you a lot of those cigars were either plugged, mm-hmm. they tunnel burned, they were not enjoyable. Uh-huh. And I don't know their logistical situation. Maybe there's like this huge giant warehouse full of cigars that are not humidified correctly.
It's a difference in quality when you look at
totally
a small, like you have a lot of family based and family owned cigar manufacturers. They take time because especially when you get those old families, it's about their name.
Right.
They're not going to put anything out there to besmirch that name. Oh, yes.
Everything. Yes.
But you get someone that is so large, that is so big, that quality doesn't matter. It's all about the quantity.
It becomes the Walmart and Amazon of cigars.
Oh, yes.
And so, you know, I don't know that I should bring this up.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to. Because, you know, I like to fire shots across the bow.
Get the shield up, Luke. Get the shield up.
There is actually another show that you may or may not have heard of called The Stogie Geeks.
Uh-oh.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about those guys, but I saw a video clip, and they were knocking McAuliffe cigars.
That's the one I saw.
For going brick and mortar and stepping away from Cigar Internationals, and they were saying that, you know, these guys are crazy. Yep. Why would a small company do this? And to me, that's somebody that doesn't understand the value of brick and mortars. Yeah.
And where the true consumer is.
And I mean, I would think for a cigar show,
you
want to support the brick and mortars because that's the community.
Our thing is we will not support or talk about someone that we don't feel a relationship with.
Right. Or that support the brick and mortar.
That supports
the internet sales.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Or if you are Cigar International, which we turned down as a sponsor because I told them, you're the devil.
Yeah. As we called AT&T when I was in telecommunications, you're the Death Star.
You're the devil.
You're the Death Star. You know, it's about everyday people. You know, everybody can't get online and buy four or five boxes of sticks, but they can go downtown to that brick and mortar
and buy one stick, sit down, and enjoy it with your brothers.
Yes, consistently.
Right.
Over and over and over again. That's what builds a community.
And, you know, here's what I have to say to the new cigar smokers. Yeah, you're going to go online. You're going to see cheaper prices.
Every day.
But are you going to see tobacco that has been aged and handled properly? Are you going to find that tobacconist that recommends something that you know you're going to enjoy? No. It ain't there. It ain't there. And don't get me wrong. I know there is a place for online sales. I get that. But if you have the opportunity to support a brick and mortar,
support it.
That's what you should be doing. Support you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and they were talking about like Sock Dolliger and the other places here locally. Mm-hmm. You got to support your brick and mortars. And I was like, absolutely.
Every day.
That's what it's all about. Yep. And, you know, something that we're not going to get to smoke tonight, but we're going to smoke next week is I was at our local brick and mortar, The Leaf. Mm-hmm. And for our 100th episode recording, Jay gave us a couple of McAuliffe Reservas. So next week.
That's what we smoke.
That's what we smoke.
That's when we smoke.
So anyway, we want to say thank you to Jay. Yeah. Always taking care of us. Yeah. And
because it's that brick and mortar. It's our house. That's our house. That's our home. That's my lounge. That's my place to go when I want to get away from all the craziness. Everything that the world is beating me up on, I can go in there. And if I'm sitting down with Larry, you, Rob, Paul, anybody, I can get away from everything else, enjoy me a smoke, and have a nice conversation.
It's an oasis.
It's that oasis for me.
Yeah.
You know, so why wouldn't I support it?
Unless Phil's there. If Phil's there, you know, I like to just sneak in, grab a cigar, and sneak out. Because don't get me wrong, I like a good conspiracy theory every now and then, but I don't need 40 conspiracy theories in 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying.
Everybody knows what you're saying.
So, Phil, let me tell you something. Phil, if you're listening tonight... I want to just say, knock off the conspiracy theories, okay? There's no one coming for your dogs. There's no...
The goats, none of it.
Those goats, they're yours, brother. They're not taking your goats. They're not taking your dogs. And vaccines, you're too old to be having kids, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. Let the parents worry about the vaccines. You are not having any more kids.
I got to stop you on that because, dude, the conversations.
Did I take that in a direction you weren't expecting?
Let's go. Topic number three.
All right. Are you saying let's get back on track?
Topic number three. Environment. And we're talking about for the growth maturity.
Of tobacco plants.
Of tobacco plants.
I get you. For me, I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you straight up, I haven't been to all these places that grow amazing tobacco.
Gotcha.
I've talked to a lot of people who have been to a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that seems to be the common denominator is the climate. Mm-hmm. It's humid. It's growing paradise. Uh-huh. The soil is amazing. But that's where it changes from the climate to the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So your environment, the growing conditions are right in all these places. Okay. but the soil adds so much to the flavor mm-hmm. profile. And like
it takes it to this direction or that direction.
When I think mm-hmm. of Dominican Republic, I think of like sweetness mm-hmm. flavors, chocolatey flavors. And then like when you have a mixture of the Dominican Republic and the Nicaraguan cigars,
yeah.
now you're getting the sweet chocolate with some leather earth mm-hmm. and the power.
Power. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because when you're smoking a straight Dominican Republic, you usually don't have that power bomb. But if it has the Nicaraguan tobacco, that's where you get your power.
Now you have expectations.
Yes. Yeah. And then you change over to like the Mexican San Andreas. That is usually for me, mm-hmm. what I've experienced is the coarse, peppery wrapper, binder. And it's a great stick.
Yeah.
It's like a stick that I normally don't smoke a lot of, mm-hmm. but when I do get one, I'm like, oh yeah, I enjoy that.
That's the thing. The thing I was trying to pull out. You have an understanding, and when they say this leaf or that leaf is in there, you get an expectation of what you're gonna get when you get the stick.
Absolutely.
That comes down to who? The one hand that determines where your palate goes, which is the blender.
Right.
Because they understand this leaf, the soil, everything that went into it, and they're blending together a stick that they feel can give you the power or the florals or the sweet or the cocoa. But they understand this because of the leaf that they got, and they can put it together and bring out some of the most amazing sticks you've ever had.
You know, it reminds me of bourbons.
Okay.
Because there's bourbons that when I drink them, they excite my palate.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's bourbons that are like, meh, it was pretty good.
Gotcha.
And then there's bourbons that are like, oh no, that was rock gut. You don't need to drink that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And cigars are the same way.
Yeah.
Because I'll smoke a cigar. Well, let's just say I haven't had this experience in a long, long time. Yeah. But I smoked cigars at one time where, like, within six puffs, I was like, oh, that's not for me.
Yeah, like that one you gave me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you smile when I said that. Did you see his face light up? He smiled like, yeah.
That was funny.
No.
So, but yeah, bourbon's the same way. And that's one of the things that with cigars, you have to remember that it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, now I say that, and then I think about our producer. He is not having a journey.
No. If somebody ever born with a silver spoon.
He is on a luxury cruise.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, think about what he smoked.
Yeah.
He smoked six cigars.
And which six were they?
The first one was the Riata.
Mm.
Then the McAuliffe Connecticut.
Mm.
Then the Oliva O.
Uh-huh.
Then the Oliva V.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Island Gem.
The Island Gem.
And now tonight, a Davidoff. Dude, that is not.
And he's sitting over there snickering. Look, yeah. He's like, yeah.
That is not a journey. Man. That's a pleasure cruise.
Oh, yeah. You started off on the top. Now, you can go up a little bit higher, but everything else after that.
You know,
just be thankful he didn't give you the one he gave me that night.
Here's the thing, though.
You'll never forget.
Like, even though he has started out at the upper echelon,
mm-hmm.
he's not ready for a Padron 1926.
No,
he's not ready for a McAuliffe Reserva. And so he's really not ready for the Davidoff. I mean,
but he enjoyed it.
He enjoyed it. He said it's his favorite stick so far.
I can understand that, too.
Spoil rotten. But, you know, because straight up, the first three or four times I smoked a 1926, I didn't appreciate them. I didn't. I just thought.
It was too new for me. My palate hadn't got
developed.
To the point to accept that, to enjoy that. It was just like, oh, okay.
And that's like tonight. Luke said he enjoyed that Davidoff.
I'd like to
see him come back a year from now and smoke that same cigar and see what he says
then. Oh, yes.
He'll give a lot more detail.
Mm-hmm.
over, then, I enjoyed it.
Then his palate would say, I tasted this, I tasted that, I retrohaled and I tasted this. Okay,
now, yeah. Hey, you haven't retrohaled yet, have you? See? Oh, we got to teach him the retrohale. Yeah. Maybe on Cigar Talk 102. Cigar Talk 102.
Retrohaling.
Retrohale.
101.
Let's do next week. That's one of our topics is retrohaling.
Gotcha.
And we'll all three retrohale.
The same stick.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So, Luke, it will not be a 1926. Just letting you know now. So you got another topic?
Yeah.
That was it. Oh, I said, do you have another one? You said, yeah.
That was it.
All right. Well, then let's talk a little bit about football.
Hey.
First of all.
Hey, I can smile now.
Hey, first of all, you know, do you remember what record I predicted the Cowboys to have?
Hey, Nick.
Right. And I looked over their entire schedule today, and I stand by that.
You still stand by?
I stand by that because, and that's given that they can beat the Eagles twice and the Giants twice, which I think they can.
Yeah.
That means they're going to split with Washington.
Yep.
They're going to beat Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's scary.
And they're going to beat the 49ers.
No.
That's my prediction if they go 8-8.
Yeah, because
those are the games they have to win.
By that time,
they're playing.
Everybody will be back.
I don't think they're going to beat Cleveland this week. Do you?
Cleveland surprised me this week.
Right.
They did.
I don't think the Cowboys will beat Cleveland. I don't think they'll beat Pittsburgh.
No, they're not going to beat Pittsburgh.
No.
Uh-uh.
Then they play the Ravens.
Nope. Not at all.
Dude, their schedule's tough.
Yeah. Not at all with the Ravens.
No. Baby. I went through their schedule today and was like, okay, they might win this one. Yeah. They might win this one. And I came out with, I still believe they're 8-8.
Me in the beginning.
So if you're a Cowboy fan and you disagree with me, shoot me an email and tell me what you think they're going to do.
Me in the beginning, I thought we would be 13-3.
Dude, y'all got decimated with injuries like in week 2.
Now I can see 9-7.
Is Garoppolo playing?
No, Mullins won that for us yesterday.
Okay.
Mullins won that for us yesterday. You know, and I can see 9-7, 10-6. I pray, especially if everybody comes back when they do. If everybody comes back when they say they will, we'll have a strong push at the end. We will.
And I mean, really, in your conference, are y'all with the Cardinals?
Yep, Seahawks.
Dude, the Cardinals look good.
Yeah, we lost to them. Our first game was a loss to the Cardinals.
The Cardinals look tough.
See, we split with them last year.
Now, are the Cardinals 3-0 or are they 2-1?
I think they're 3-0.
I don't know if they won yesterday or not, but I know it was close.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys' defense looks horrendous. I can't believe Earl Thomas is not a Cowboy already. Because if you want to shore up some of that secondary, you got to do something. And right now, they're not doing anything.
But you know who's scary, though, man?
Who?
Green Bay?
I mean, look at New Orleans. They've dropped two.
Oh, my God.
What are you looking at? That does not surprise me at all.
Wow.
He just looked up and saw that the Chiefs are winning 20-10 over the Baltimore.
Right.
Dude.
Wow.
Mahomes is on a different level.
Did you watch the game last night with Green Bay?
No.
They say imitation is the greatest, the greatest form of flattery?
Yeah.
Rodgers was out there trying to do Mahomes stuff.
Was he really?
He threw a pass.
Left-handed?
No, I'm looking at you, and he threw it to Luke.
Oh, the no look?
Yeah, and threw it to Luke. He did that last night, and the first thing they jumped on, oh, look at Mahomes. He's already putting his mark on the NFL. Yeah. That young man came in and did things that folks, you can't do that. Running all the way to the right, throwing all the way back to the left. Pinpoint.
No looking. So I will say this, though, for the Cowboy fans, Dak has looked good.
Yeah.
Dak has looked good. Yeah. Last two games, over 450 yards a game.
Both games, yeah.
I think he had a total of 3 interceptions over those two games.
Yeah.
But You know, the
and
thing
some
about
dynamite
it is,
throws too, man.
Yes,
it's some throws you're like, ooh, Dak made that,
right? Right. And the receiving core looks good. Yeah. Now Zeke has not looked that good.
Well, you gotta realize he ain't got a line in front of him now because y'all missing both starting tackles.
Absolutely.
And they switched the guards, flipped the guards around the east side.
You got a rookie playing. I mean, the line is not what it was.
But he's still fighting to get yards, though.
He's fighting. But he doesn't look like he did last year. No, and you're right. It's the line.
Yeah, it's the line.
But that puts more pressure on Dak to perform. Mm-hmm. And so he's done well. You know, I mean, shoot, he came, I think it was 10-29 against the Atlanta Falcons he came back from.
Brought him back.
And then they had the game at Seattle, but you were 100% right. If Seattle has the ball last, it's just like Texas and Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that?
Man, that we was in main event and I was watching and I was like, how? First of all,
you thought Texas Tech was going to win.
They had the game won.
No, I knew.
Dude ran that 75 yarder with 4 minutes left.
They
let him come back and score. But this is the thing that got me.
Here's the thing.
No, they let him score.
I'm a Texas Tech fan.
Then they let him get the onside kick.
I saw how this game was going to play out before it played out. I knew when they were ahead by 15, it wasn't going to hold.
It wasn't going to hold.
Because they let them score. They let them kick the extra point. They let them score again and then go for two and get it.
And then let them get the onside kick.
And then every guy that caught a pass wasn't just open.
Wide open.
And it's like, everybody's freaking out, and I'm like, dude, it's Texas Tech. Texas Tech has scored 50 points multiple times and still lose. Because they can put up points, but they just can't stop. They cannot stop anybody.
I hate to say this, Junior, but that's the way the Chargers used to be back in the 80s. They have scored 50, but the other team will score 51.
Or 100.
They can score with anybody. Defense just couldn't stop nobody. But, yeah, I understand.
Hey, guys, we're coming up with something a little bit different. We're not doing our giveaway this week. We are going to start doing one giveaway a month.
Yeah.
And you know what that means.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be better.
It's going to be better.
We're going to make a giveaway that's going to knock your socks off.
Yes.
So stay tuned, and we will be announcing what the giveaway is going to be. But it's going to be bigger, better, and less often.
And the only way you can get it
is if you register.
Thank you.
And all you got to do is go by CigarTalkPodcast.com, click on the register button, put your name and your email address. We don't ask for any more than that. And we don't send out tons of emails. I still haven't even sent out the newsletter for September.
Man, did you hear that? There's another month.
I'm going to send out a newsletter. Because, you know, that's what I do. So, anyway.
Come back with us. Come back with us.
I'm going to send out a newsletter for October. So maybe we do a bi-monthly.
A quarterly.
Ooh.
That'd give you 3 months to get it in.
Quarterly. Hey, here's what we're doing quarterly.
Then it'll change to semi-annually.
Semi-annually.
Then once a year annually. Then we go every anniversary. 5, 10, 15.
Then we go to the 100.
The 100th year. What?
Co-host is dead.
Where are their grandchildren?
Luke's going to be on with his friend.
No, Luke's going to be on with his kids and Brian going to be on with his.
Oh, gentlemen.
This is where our dad and granddad started. And we're carrying on because you've been waiting on that newsletter for 47 years.
Anyway, hey, guys, that's episode 101, season 2.
Season 2.
Can you believe it? Episode 101.
I'm in
disbelief.
Hey, I'm in awe.
I'm in awe
that people are actually
I'm in
still
appreciation. And, you know, I just don't want you guys to forget about Tim over at Down to the Nub doing acid. Make sure you go watch.
Oh, my God. The producer's losing his mind when he's trying to press buttons.
I think, you know what? I'm like, wow. That's some bold predictions.
Okay. Reel them in, Luke.
Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode this week. Until next time.
Keep smoking.